morning. Oh, sorry, Ted. So I am not Brent. This is definitely out of my comfort zone, but we're going to have a lot of fun today. I've got a couple different fun props that I brought with me. But for those that may not know me, my name is Keith Niemeyer. I am the director of youth ministry, student ministries here, as well as music. But this morning I got to take a break from music, and I just want to thank the worship team for the beautiful music this morning. So, following this tradition, those that have been here the past few weeks, Brent's been going through this idea of traditions leading up to Christmas and some of the things that we do, why we do it, and kind of the faith aspect behind it. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to follow that, seeing as we are very, very close to one of the most known traditions. With the new year starting, we tend to take this opportunity to make some changes in our lives. A lot of times that can be physical, so we decide we're going to go to the gym. We decide we're going to eat better, things like that. I was talking to Jessica about some of the ideas that I had going into this new year. And so I wanted to kind of talk about this continuing idea of traditions and how it reveals a longing for us, even in a spiritual sense. So we're beginning a brand new year. That means a great opportunity to kind of start over. At least that's how I've always viewed it, is I look at the past year, I'm like, thank you, God, for all that you've done. I'm now going to take this opportunity to get kind of back on track. And so I started thinking about what do Christians tend to think about when they're coming up with these resolutions. And so I did some research, and I found a couple that are very, very common. And so one is reading the Bible. Seems very simple, but at times we let reading scripture kind of fall to the wayside. If I got extra time, I'll do it. If I'm reminded, I'll do it. But sometimes we completely miss out on that opportunity. So that's one of the main ones, is Christians decide, I'm gonna read my Bible. Maybe that's daily or just more often. And so last week we actually got a bulletin insert that had a Bible reading plan. And so a lot of people use the new year to start the read through the Bible in a year challenge. And so that's one of the main goals that people set. Another one is to go through a devotional. There's so many different devotionals, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But sometimes it's as simple as I want to go through a devotional. I want to learn more. Praying. A lot of people, myself included at times, miss out on our time of prayer. And so a lot of people decide, well, I'm going to make that a higher priority. Another one is attend church or small groups more often, getting into the Word, getting into small groups, studying, learning more about Christ. And so as I'm thinking about all of these ideas that people are throwing out there, I start to wonder why. Why are all of these goals, what is the purpose of them? And ultimately, at the bottom of it, it's because we all want to grow in our faith. We all want to take whatever steps necessary to deepen our understanding of Scripture, to grow closer in this relationship with God. So today I'm going to share just a little bit of my story and how that ties into the message today, but the whole theme is following God even when it's difficult. So for me, I didn't grow up in a household that attended church regularly. So I went to Awana's for like a year, but I was very social and would get in trouble a lot. And so I didn't get to continue through Awana's. And my dad was a drummer. And so he would travel around to different churches if they needed someone to play. And so if he wasn't playing that Sunday, typically we didn't go. And so the church, like I didn't have a full understanding growing up, even through middle school. But I moved in with my mom. This was towards the end of middle school, beginning of high school. And same thing, like she didn't really attend church. My grandparents had in the past, but my grandma was battling some health issues, and so it wasn't a high priority. And so I had a friend that invited me to youth group, and me being a social person, I'm like, yeah, sure, let's see what this is all about. And so I started attending youth group, and to be honest, like a lot of people in the beginning, it's because there was food, it's because my friends were there, it's because we got to play some games, and then I had to sit through this person talking for a little bit. But it was fun, and it was something that I enjoyed. And so I started to grow little by little. It became more about the lesson versus who's going that week. And then I got into music. I always enjoyed, growing up, I played drums as well. So I always enjoyed music. And so they had a youth group praise band. And I really wanted to be on the praise band. But in my town, there's like 1,000 drummers. And so there was, at that point, like 3 different drummers for the praise team. And so there wasn't much opportunity. And so my youth pastor, I had taken some interest in guitar. And so he encouraged me that in the over summer practice get better, but that the person that was doing guitar at the time was going to be going to college. I'm like, okay, I'll do that. One thing that he didn't tell me was that person was also their lead singer. And so I definitely was not a lead singer. Maybe in the shower I would pretend I could sing, but I was very shy in that sense. Like behind a drum set, it's great. No one really even looks at you. But playing guitar and singing was something that I didn't think about. But it gave me this opportunity to grow, and it's something that I ended up falling in love with. And so I got more and more plugged into the church, into youth group, and I had the sense that something in my life had been missing, and that's what I was finding in this group. And so I go to college, decided that I wanted to pursue youth ministry. I had a wonderful relationship with my youth pastor, and just saw that the impact that he had on me, and then in turn the impact that I was having on other people. So I decided I wanted to study youth ministry while continuing music as well. But one of the things that college really challenged me in was that up to that point, my faith was, I mean, I understood stuff, but it was still kind of shallow. Like if someone were to ask me what I believed, I would tell them because that's what I heard at youth group or that's what I heard the pastor say on a Sunday morning. But to actually explain it was something that I just didn't have that yet. And so for me, I took a class in the entire the course was to write. It was like a 40-page paper on what you believe and why you believe it, looking at scripture. And I hated it. I hated the entire course because I'm not a paper person. But at the end of it, I looked back and realized that just in that course of time, how much deeper my relationship was because I started to make it my own. It was one thing to say, well, I believe this because that's what I heard in the sermon, but to actually be able to study and make it something that I understand and know why I believe it really challenged me to grow. The theme in that class is, do you believe that what you believe is really real? And it was a hard question because you think, some of the theology can be very complicated, very confusing, and so making it all make sense not only helped me grow in my faith, but then if I'm teaching or sharing that with someone else, I can make it make more sense because it makes sense to me. So after thinking and researching and studying, I started to think as I was preparing for this sermon, as a Christian, we all want to grow deeper in Christ. So why don't we? What are some things that get in the way? What are some roadblocks? And so I started looking some things up, and one of the biggest reasons that some of these studies were showing is that people don't know where to start. And that's a really good reason. I looked it up, and there's, at this point, over 500 different translations of the English Bible. So just starting with what translation do I read, can be very complicated. There's devotionals on any topic you can think of, and so a lot of times we don't really know well, is this devotional good? Is this devotional good? What do I do? There are self-help books. One of the funniest ones I found, and I think I still have it, was like the Idiot's Guide to the Bible, and then the Idiot's Guide to Christianity, and so it tried to simplify it. But they even have some that are like, understand the Bible in 60 minutes. And so there's so many different resources out there that as a new Christian or even someone who grew up going to youth group, is really hard to know, what do I do? Where do I start? So it was very confusing, and I had no clue as to where to even begin. And so that was where I found a lot of comfort, because of how many different devotionals there were, because of how many different Bibles there were. I was able to find ones that really spoke to me. And there's a Bible app that we've been using in our youth group that you type in any type of theme and you can find a ton of them. There's even, Jessica was showing them, like if you're feeling sad, you click on the sad button and it gives you devotionals that help with whatever you're going through. So there were so many different resources, but I also found that was a great way to find what I was interested in. So second reason is that a lot of times in our faith, we don't instantly notice or feel a change, and so we're kind of hesitant to continue. So I have a prop here. I'm hoping that this works. But this is all these ping pong balls, if you guys can see it. I can go up if I need to. But all the ping pong balls kind of represent things that we do, whether it's a sin or just a aspect of our life. And it's not always bad, because like for me, music was a lot of those ping pong balls. And I use that in my ministry. But at the same time, there were times where my focus shifted so much to that, that it took away from pursuing this relationship with Christ. So, as a example, this is what a lot of people tend to notice. So this is delicious water, but this is representing, if you've spent any time in church, representing us allowing God to pour into us. So this is our spiritual life. So a lot of times what we'll do is we'll start reading our Bible, and we expect something crazy to happen, and all of a sudden, nothing's different. We don't notice any change. So we start praying more. Nothing changes. We start going to Bible studies, and we don't notice an immediate change. But then what I found is that we're challenged to, just like with the New Year's around the corner, to not make it I'm going to do this for a week, and if nothing changes, I'm going to quit, but to make it a more consistent daily discipline. And so in this metaphor, as soon as we start making it more consistent, then we start to see a change, and we can feel God doing things in our lives. But then there's a tendency for a lot of us to stop. That once we feel this change, we feel good that we've made progress, we have a tendency to kind of stop and stay there. And so I started to ask, because I do the same thing. I started to ask, why do we do that? We're allowing God to pour into our lives. We've improved. So why wouldn't we continue doing it? And a lot of times, and myself included, it's because things can get awkward. Things can get hard. As soon as I start making my faith my own, I can be challenged in some different ways. So as I'm going through this huge paper, trying to understand some of the big church doctrine, all of a sudden I start to see, well, this person believes this, and there's a faith around that. This person believes this, and there's a whole nother faith around that. And so how do I even know what's real? And then youth groups are notorious for, go share your faith. That's super awkward. And if I don't understand what my faith even is, it's really hard to do that. And so a lot of times, we stop here. And this is kind of where we keep it. But the problem with that is, there's still a lot of room for us to change. those in the inner circle, so when I'm at church, I can talk about Jesus, they can probably tell that there's a change. But as soon as you start getting farther and farther away, so people that may not know you all that well, if they look, they may not even know that God's there. And so the challenge is that we continue to allow God to pour into us. So I want to talk about the third reason, which is, I think, safe to say we've all dealt with, is that in our faith, at times, it feels awkward. It can get uncomfortable. And so I have a really funny video that shows this example of being uncomfortable, because we all have felt it. It's safe to say that no one enjoys feeling uncomfortable. And so for me, one of the things that makes me the most uncomfortable, other than preaching on a Sunday morning, is silence. And when I looked it up, that was one of the most common reasons that people feel uncomfortable. If you're ever in like an elevator or cafeteria, or you're talking to anyone and it gets quiet, it can be really awkward. So I have a funny video that just kind of demonstrates that a little bit.
I love it, Kate. I want to reward you with 5 minutes of uninterrupted eye contact.
You can stay, Rick, if you... Okay.
Super awkward. And so this reminds me a lot of, especially in my faith, times where I have run away from opportunities to serve and honor God and understand Him more because it makes me feel awkward. And so another prop that I have here is a simple chair. And this kind of represents where I feel comfortable. So while I'm here in my chair, I'm not necessarily being challenged, but I feel safe. And so the issue is that a lot of times we tend to stay where we feel comfortable or where we feel safe. So I'll talk about my faith while I'm at church, because that's safe. People understand, people hopefully agree with some of my ideas. But if I were to try to share my faith with someone else and leave that comfort zone, I don't like it. I want to be back in where I feel safe. And so this idea that we want to stay in our safe little bubble isn't necessarily bad, but what I found is that it limits how God can use us. I'll read my Bible or devotional as long as it doesn't challenge any of my core beliefs or teach me something that I may be struggling with. I read a devotional that's patting me on the back, that's great. If I read the Bible and it makes sense and I don't have to change anything, awesome. But as soon as that changes and I have to deal with that, I tend to want to go back to where it's safe. So for me, I did the same thing. It stopped me from growing for quite a while. I was so afraid of the unknown. I was so afraid of God using me in ways that I didn't sign up for, that I missed out on some of those opportunities. But here's what I learned. Being in uncomfortable places really allows us to grow. So when I'm uncomfortable, I allow the opportunity to grow. And so a lot of people would ask, well, why? So when we are comfortable, we tend to shift our focus away from God. And we do that in a lot of ways, myself included. So when we are comfortable, we tend to shift our focus away from God. So when I'm healthy, I tend to not have to worry about things. So my shift can now focus on me. But as soon as I get really sick, all of a sudden I want to pray and I want to have God heal me. I'm really bad about this with finances. When I've got money in the bank, I don't have to worry about things. I've got a house, I've got food, so I'm fine, and my focus can shift away from God. But as soon as I can't pay bills, or as soon as there's something major that happens, I tend to run back to God and say, hey, God, help me. But yet when I'm here in my safety net, it's easy to focus on me and miss that opportunity to see how God's working. So when we're comfortable, we tend to stay in the safe place. One of the examples of this that I've always been challenged by was the rich young ruler. So he was, as it says, rich, but he still felt like he was missing something. He knew that there was something more that he didn't have, even though he had money, he had possessions, things like that. And so going to Jesus asking, I'm missing something, how do I get it? Jesus is explaining, well, this is how you get it. Well, I've done all that, I'm good, so I'm still missing something. And so he's challenged to sell your possessions, and because that's kind of your focus right now. And so knowing that that would be hard, knowing that that would make him uncomfortable, he went away knowing that, well, this is what I want, but it's going to take me away from what's comfortable and what's safe. So I've always been challenged with the rich young ruler because I was kind of the same way. Growing up, I knew that there was something that I was missing, but whenever it would challenge me, whenever it was difficult, I tended to stop and go back to what was safe. So for the rich young ruler, one of the things that, again, I've always been really challenged by is as I was watching a sermon, and this pastor said this. He said that the rich young ruler was so blinded by his blessings that he missed the blesser. He was so blinded by the things that God had provided for him that even though it was right in front of him, he would rather just stay. And that's been my tendency throughout my faith walk as well. So we try to stay in our own safe place because it's easy and it's comfortable. But the truth is this, if we can't stay, we can't stay in one place. One of the things that I tell the youth a lot is this same idea, that we can never, in terms of our faith, stay in one place. We're always either moving towards God or we're moving away from God. We're either missing out on opportunities to grow closer to God, or we are willing to get out of our comfort zones and serve God in deeper ways. So Paul talks about it like this. In Philippians 3:12-14, I skipped through that first verse. Let me backtrack real quick. One of my favorite verses that talks about this idea a lot is Philippians 3:10-11, and he says, I want to know Christ, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. And so this has been one of my favorite verses, and it starts out really cool. I want to know Christ, and then it gets really difficult. So Paul's saying that I want to know Christ. I want to do whatever it takes to have this deeper relationship at whatever cost. And that was always my goal, and that's always been one of my favorite verses because it's a challenge. But again, it's really hard because you have to get so far away from your comfort zone that it gets uncomfortable. And so then he continues in 12 through 14. Sorry. Skipped around quite a bit. He says, not that I have already obtained this or that I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. He's called me heavenwards in Jesus Christ. And so Paul, who growing up, I saw his lifeline and the transformation that he had. And I always assumed Paul had the deepest faith. He knew everything. He was set. And so it was really encouraging to see that Paul, he's challenging people that it's a lifelong journey. It's not something that I'm going to read my Bible in a year, check it off, and I'm done. But then Paul, who a lot of us would say had a very, very deep faith, is saying that I have not already obtained this or arrived at my goal, but I press on. And so this idea that we have to continuously, daily make this decision to follow and to serve God. Paul, who was in prison and didn't have the greatest life at certain times in his life, was still so encouraging to other people. And so I love this portion of Scripture because it's a challenge to me that even in bad times, good times, wherever I'm at, that I have to remember that it's a journey, that I'm always moving closer to God or away from God. So one of the things that through this scripture that I'd always been challenged by is I always felt like I was behind. I didn't even start going to church really until beginning of high school. Went to college to study, but I always felt way behind. And so I think this was my second year of college. There was a church looking for a youth pastor. I'm like, well, I'm going to the youth ministry, so I want to apply and take these steps to see what it's all about, to go through the process, knowing that I would never get the job because I'm a second-year college student who didn't even start going to church until high school. I wanted to get the experience, and so I go to this interview, and then they call me back, and they want me to meet the kids and the parents, and so I'm like, whatever, I'll go and do it. There's no way they're going to hire me. It's just, I want to see this process. And then I get the call that they wanted to hire me. Like, you guys are crazy. Like, I don't know half of what these kids know. Because, like, there were times we would go through some of the Sunday school stuff, and these kids knew, I mean, more biblical history than I did at the time. And so I was always challenged, feeling like I wasn't where I wanted to be. And so this idea that I always felt insecure, but yet God was still using me in big ways. And so through that, I was challenged every single day I went to work to know God more, to deepen my understanding of Scripture, and to serve Him. And so I like to view it like this. So I started my faith here, and my goal was to be here, like this is in my mind where I want it to be, and I always struggled because I was, you know, somewhere in here. I'm like, well, I'm not as good as I want to be, and that was my only focus. And so reading through this, it reminded me, and there's this challenge that you may not be where you want to be, but if you look back where you started, you can see that progress. You can see the change. There's still room to grow, but you're better than where you started. You understand things better than when you started. And so this idea that we're constantly growing was fascinating to me. As someone who loved challenges, it was so encouraging to know that there will never be a moment in my life where I've learned everything that I can learn, I know everything, and so I'm done. It's encouraging to know that every day there's something more that we can learn. So, in wrapping up, this is the challenge. We have to get out of our comfort zone and stop putting stipulations on how God can and can't use us. And that's what I was doing for a long time. Like, God, I'll serve you if I can play drums and be in the background. God, I'll serve you if you send me to a church like this. God, I will share my faith with these type of people. And I started to put roadblocks up on how God could use me instead of allowing him, even if it made me uncomfortable, to serve him wholeheartedly. And that's something that I still have to think about and consider. So we have to stop putting stipulations on how God can use us and make our faith our own and decide to follow Jesus. If we allow God to continue to pour into us, we will see God do amazing things. And it's not a one and done thing. It's a daily decision to follow God. We may not be where we want to be, and we'll never be perfect. We'll never have it all figured out. But at some point, we'll start to see, and others will start to see, that there is change being made, that we're serving God even when it's uncomfortable. We're growing in our faith daily. But if we don't take that opportunity to serve him, to get uncomfortable, we'll never allow God to use us in these big and amazing ways. So my challenge is simple. If you have that slip of paper from last week, that's a great way to start. I had the New Testament readings in there, or going through the entire Bible. There's devotional apps. There's so many ways that we can start. But the biggest challenge is to not let it be, I'll do it for a week, I'll do it for a month, and then stop. Because we do tend to live in a instant world where I'm going to do 50 push-ups, and if I don't have super big muscles, it's not working, and I'm going to try something different. And that's the tendency even with our faith, that if I read my Bible, if I say a prayer, I expect to see an instant change. And God doesn't really work like that. It's a daily decision to follow and serve him. So I'm going to wrap up with a prayer. And then if you have any questions, feel free to come and talk to me afterwards. But this is just a simple reminder for me as well, that I should never be satisfied with where I'm at. But I should also not be discouraged, because you've made progress and there's always still room to grow. So I'm going to go ahead and pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to grow, the opportunity to serve you. And I just pray that this message was challenging, but also encouraging. We thank you for all that you continue to do in each of our lives. And I just pray that myself included, that we continue to look for ways to serve you and honor you, challenge us in some big ways, make us uncomfortable, but also give us the strength and the courage to take those opportunities to really get out of our comfort zone and allow you to do some amazing things. It's in your name we pray. Amen.